Welcome back. Welcome back, Falcons fans. Don't adjust your volumes or, you know, if you've been in a time machine or anything like that. This isn't actually a brand new episode of the FalconCast podcast, and we thank you for listening in. Jay Adams here with DJ Shockley. As well as sometimes.
I am an always. And I'm a stalemate.
You're more of an always than I've been. And, of course, no. John Michaels has got, you know.
He's got a lot of issues going on.
Got a lot of issues. No, John's got a lot of issues, so he's not here. But, look, we had gotten so many tweets from you guys that we were like, you know what? We've got to just put something together that is real – we got to talk about camp. We've got we've had so much going on. We haven't had a podcast in a month.
Can't believe it's been a month.
It's been a month, and we've been through I think 10 days of training camp.
Yes,
and I'm not sure because I don't know what day it is. That's the kind of point I've hit here in training camp. But boy, we got a lot to talk about. Yeah. Bosek's over here. We have so much rust. We have so much rust here.
He's got me right now. He's got
Bosek's sitting here. I'm trying to keep going here. And Bosek's unplugging things and putting stuff in. We've forgotten how to do this whole thing.
Jay, you know what, man? It has been, like I said, you're 10 days in. Well, I forget the days as well because I'm up here a lot of the time watching training camp. And it's been a very, very, I should say, valued training camp as a lot has gone on. We've seen a lot of different things throughout camp as far as the players and what they're going through and the type of things DQ is trying to install. But I think this training camp, and Bosek actually asked me this, you know, before we came on air. He said, you know, what do you think, you know, of, you know, what you've seen and everything. And you know what? I really feel this team stacks up with anybody. I think talent for talent-wise, they have – the Falcons have players at each position that I look at and say, okay, I like him there. I like him there. I think he fits well. I think he can match up to this person. And there was an article came out, you know, a few weeks back, maybe just a week back, talking about the offense wanting to get back to scoring 30 points a game. Defensively, just the front seven.
Yeah.
How many guys – we talked about this a month ago and we said there are so many guys at the linebacker position, so many guys at the D-line – that can get after the passer. And we've had a lot of different things happen, a lot of new signees happen, and it's definitely been a good training camp so far, I feel.
I completely agree. It's tough to take the 30,000-foot view on this since there's just so much that has gone on, but I think, you know, you've had a spirited training camp.
Yeah.
The energy's been high every single day out there. We're coming off a practice here on Thursday in which the legendary – professional wrestler Ric Flair himself broke the team down.
Tuesday.
What did I say?
Thursday.
I said today.
No, you said Thursday. We're coming off of practice Thursday. The game's on Thursday.
I told you I don't know what day it is. Tuesday.
Very true.
That's why you're all looking at me weird. Like you guys are looking at me like, hey, we're not supposed to talk about Ric Flair. I'm like, it's everywhere. It's on the internet. Sorry. So Tuesday, Ric Flair just broke down the team. And
I got a picture of Ric Flair. You got a picture of Ric Flair?
I got a picture of Ric Flair.
I took a video of Ric Flair.
Okay. And then
the video was awesome, though, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, so cool to have him come and break down the team. And the energy from the guys after that, like over in the family area, it was like you could tell that it was just it was palpable. So I think this is a team that's ready to get on the field. They're kind of tired of hitting each other. I imagine, you know, DJ, you know, you probably get tired of playing against the same cornerbacks and safeties and linebackers when you get to this point in camp. You get into the dog days a little bit. You know, every day kind of feels the same.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get away from Flowery Branch and get into the Georgia Dome, wouldn't it?
It will. And you've had the fans out here. You've had that kind of atmosphere, which is something that you enjoy. But there's nothing like having the actual game, having somebody else who doesn't really know you. You get to compete against. You get to go out there with no coaches on the field. I was talking with Marquand Manuel after practice today on Tuesday, and he was talking about he gives the players everything they need and want throughout practice. And he says at the game they say, Coach, you never talk to us. I said, there's no need because I've already gave you everything you need before you get to the game where there's nothing I need to tell you on game day because – In practice, I'm right behind you. I'm 5-10 yards away from you, explaining to you what you need to do, how to get better. In the game, I'm 30 yards away on the sideline, and it's just going to be you. And I think that speaks that speaks a lot for –
We got some rust to shake off. Don't worry about it. We'll get there.
It speaks volumes. That's what I want to say. There it speaks volumes for an athlete, a player, to be able to get in a game and – You have to go fend for yourself. You have to go, and you have to go through the game plan. You have to play at a level that's expected of you in practice. And like you mentioned, the intensity level, how much energy is in practice, it has to permeate when the game falls over because you're so used to playing at a high speed. And if I know a lot of fans have been out here. If you've seen the way this team practices, they practice fast. They go from every drill fast. They play in between the whistles fast. And I think – that bodes well for when you get into a game. And I know they're looking forward to it. It's like you said, it's day 10, and they've seen nothing but Falcons for 10 days of practice, and they want to play against somebody else and compete against them and show what they can do and put it on tape. Because you got to remember, ultimately, this is a job for a lot of these guys. There are a lot of guys who are, you know, set in stone and going to have a job on this team, but there are a lot of guys who they need this film. They need to go out and play in a live situation to show coaches, I belong on this team.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is that's what these first two preseason games are all about, and especially that all-important fourth one for the guys who are on the bubble, who have that kind of last chance to make an impact. I want to go back to something that you were talking about, though, with the intensity, the energy, all of the different positivity that's coming out of practice. I can tell you, as I've watched every single practice out here, you've got guys that are hitting.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you've been following our Twitter account at all, we put out a couple of videos of a couple of guys who are just absolutely destroying it out there, and they're going like 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Neal, when he hits you at 50% or 75%, I mean, it's just unfair.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of fun to watch. But you know what? The thing that stands out to me the most, because these guys are going out there and they are going as hard as they can, and they're just kind of, you know, trying to wrap up, trying to get just a bit of a hit on a guy, whatever. No fights.
Yeah.
We are into a very, very quote unquote dangerous period of camp where every day is kind of the same.
Guys are tired.
They're
irritated.
Tired. Yeah. They've been around the same guys all the time. Somebody stinks. You know, Julio won't put his clothes away in the dorm room or something like that. You know, you get frustrated by the little things, and all of a sudden that materializes into some kind of fight on the practice field. And we've seen that happen, not just at Falcons camp, but at every other camp. You know, this is a brotherhood and brothers fight sometimes, right? I think it's a huge credit to Dan Quinn and the coaching staff that these guys are going after it so hard and knowing that, look, I got to protect my teammate. I got to make sure that I get better. So that means, you know, getting the shoulder where it's got to be, sometimes delivering a little bit of a blow. But I've also got to keep my head about me.
Yeah.
Even if I'm that guy, I feel bad for the running backs because those guys, the defense is told on a running play, every single person's got to touch that ball.
Yeah.
So running backs are coming out and they're running down the field and they may have, you know, been touched at the after like 2 yards, but they go 13, 14 yards down the field. They still got like safeties and all these other guys coming up to them, hitting them. And then they got to have bruises all over them. I feel bad for them. But every single person out there is keeping their cool.
You know what's cool? Looking at the video that we shoot at practice in slow-mo, sometimes I recall this one clip. Devontae Freeman's running, and Paul Warlow's fist just comes in. His fist comes in and just nails Freeman's bicep. And just totally missed the ball, but nails Freeman's bicep, and you just see it like just flubber,
ripple,
ripple. And,
well, there's not a lot of flubber on that.
The muscle is flubbering.
Yeah,
there was a play today that I saw, and it made me think about, wow, this is just not something that they're saying on a regular basis. Is we're about the ball is these guys practice it every single day. I was watching in pregame, and not pregame, but in the warmups. When they're stretching, they're going back and forth. Each and every line, there's like 12 lines, and they're stretching. Each line has somebody throwing a ball to somebody, and each guy's got to catch it. They're all about the ball. Then there was another play during the 11-on-11 drills. Brian Poole was on the other side of the field, and there was a run play to the right side. He's on the left side. He has to come all the way across the field just to tap the ball or tap the running back to say, all right, I got my hit on the ball. And that means so much once you get into a game that it's just going to be second nature to it. And you talked about Keanu Neal. I remember there was a play a couple days ago. Eric Weems catches a little crossing route. He hits him 50% with his shoulder, knocks Weems to the ground. And, you know, you see guys coming up to him and tell him, you know, you got to take care of your teammates. And I think that's part of it is he took that in stride. You didn't see anything else like that after that. He did a good job of listening to the older veterans. And then I think it goes hand in hand with you talk about no fights. If you're fighting, there's a chance of you hurting yourself. There's right. a chance of you hurting somebody else, hitting a helmet, breaking a finger, breaking a hand, something like that. And if you're not in a position, there's
a focus part of it, right?
There's one quote that I thought goes very good with this is I heard a long time. It was your durability is more important than your ability. Hmm. So if you're in the training room, if you're not able to practice, we can't see your ability. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking care of your teammates, guess what? Everybody has the chance to get better, and we can see your ability. But if you're not durable enough to be on the field, that means you're not taking care of yourself, you're not taking care of your teammates, you're not going to be able to show us anything you got.
That's smart. And you know, I really think that the you're going to hear a lot of things from Dan Quinn that are going to feel like repeated mantras, but it's so important for that stuff to be repeated because what gets repeated gets put into action.
Yep.
And you know, one of them is protect the team. Number two is we're building a brotherhood here. And I think that part of it, especially when you talk about training camp, where these guys are around each other 24 hours a day. I mean, literally, yeah. That even on off days, you know, a lot of them spend time with each other. Some guys got to get out of here, let off some steam elsewhere, go see their families, whatever. But you are really building that foundation of that brotherhood during these practices. And it is amazing to see. Yes, I said amazing. Welcome back, right? How close this team feels despite having 89 or 90 guys out there right now. It feels like every single one of them knows each other. And right. I think that's a product of Dan Quinn looking at things at the start of the offseason and saying, you know what, we've always done things with, you know, offensive skill positions over here, offensive big guys over here, defensive skill positions over here, defensive skill or big guys over here. Why don't we just put the big guys together mm-hmm. and let's put the skill position guys together and make them work out with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've set something up throughout the entire offseason where your offensive players are getting to know the defensive players and vice versa. And now you're creating this true team atmosphere and the feeling is so much different out there. And I don't know if that's something that you can notice or not.
Yeah, it has. And you know, one guy I actually talked to, was Arthur Lynch, who, you know, Georgia guy, just checking on him, see how training camps began. I just said, you know, how's it going? How do you like it? He said, dude, I love it here. He was like, compared to where I've come from, this atmosphere, DQ, the way they practice, the things that go on in team meetings, he's like, you have no idea how much I like it around here and how much it's like a team. And he, you know, without, you know, short of words, he said, this team's going to win a lot of games this year. And this is – he'd been here 2 days, and he can sense it already. He can sense the culture of this team and how they perform together. And what you just talked about is paramount for a team when it comes late in the season, when things are getting tough or when the grind of a 16-game season happens. You got to be able to real look back on these moments and say, you remember – when we were doing this, remember we were doing that, when we was doing the SEAL training. You remember that eighth day in training camp when it was hot and, you know, it was 98 degrees at, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning and we were working. Those type of things come back and help you when you need them the most in the fourth quarter of a tough game.
Completely agree there. And I want to get to this is a good tie-in with the addition of Dwight Freeney to the Falcons roster since we've been away. So the Falcons bring in the veteran pass rusher. He comes in, and just like Arthur Lynch says, 2 days in, he's like, you know what? This team really reminds me of the 2005-2006 Colts. Well, if we remember, the 05-06 Colts were a pretty good football team, weren't they,
Don't
Brian
remind
Bosek?
Me about that year.
Weren't they, Mr. Chicago? So that's, you know, Dwight Freeney is a guy who's been around. He's been around some teams.
15th season here.
15 seasons. He's seen it all.
Yeah.
For him to come and say, you know what, there's a lot of talent here, and this atmosphere has me believing that this team is going to win a lot of games, and I'm just here to do my part. I think that's something that speaks volumes to your point earlier about just the culture, just everything that's kind of gone into the preparation during training camp, and I'm really, really excited to see that manifest itself on the field on Thursday night, because it is Tuesday and it's not Thursday, but Thursday night, like, to actually see, you know, even though your starters, who knows how long they're going to play, they may play 10 plays, excuse me, they may play two series, you know, whatever it is, but you're going to have some really key players who are going to play very big roles for you in 2016, who are going to see a lot of snaps on Thursday night. And to me, that's exciting because I'm ready to see it all kind of come together on the field.
And I think that's going to be big. Thursday is going to be a big stepping stone in the way this team is going to look. It's a big stepping stone in the way they want to play. And you talk about Dwight Freeney for a second. I mean, when he first got here, the one comment that I loved the most was I heard it from Thomas Dimitroff. He said, "We did not bring Freeney here to be a mentor. We didn't bring him to come here and help our younger guys. We want him to rush the passer."
Yeah.
And a lot of people looked at when they bring in the older guy, "Hey, I want you to mentor this guy. I want you to make sure you bring him along." And I'm sure everybody thought, okay, he's here to help Vic come along. Yeah, he's going to help him because of, like we mentioned, he's going into his 15th season. But at the same time, this is a guy who had 8 sacks last year who can come in and help you.
And he came in like week 6.
Right, week 6.
Had no training camp. He had no preparation for that. Just came in and all of a sudden there's 8 sacks right off the top.
And one thing that's going to help is having a guy like Freeney on there. Even if he comes in and plays primarily on third down, because we know exactly how DQ likes to do. One guy is just a guy who stays on the field all the time. There's a lot of different packages that he has throughout a ball game. And if he just comes in on third down and he says, "I'm going to rush the passer," then guess what? That's going to help Vic on the other side. That's going to help a lot of the other pass rushers get upfield. It's going to help because he's going to take a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Even though he's played 15 years, they're going to say that's still Dwight Freeney over there who can spin you to death and you can be in some trouble. So there's going to be a lot of chances for guys to learn from him but also be a little bit more fortunate because he's on the field.
And you talk about that spin move. You know, we've already seen it here in practice. And what I love is you're seeing it against Jake Matthews.
Yeah.
You're seeing it against Ryan Schrader.
Yeah.
And it is going to make those guys infinitely better when you're going up against a guy like Dwight Freeney and everything that he brings from a talent perspective, from an experience perspective. He knows how every offensive tackle is going to set coming out when the ball is snapped. And so for those guys, it's going to help them understand where they need to be and the differences that they need to make perhaps in their technique or how they defend against a guy who is so fast off the ball, can spin you right out of your shoes. I think that's a move that's going to pay dividends. But you know what? I think this preseason is going to be a big story about some guys who kind of come into their own, who maybe you didn't expect them to, maybe you did. You know, for me, I'm looking at a couple of guys that are having really, really good training camps, and these 4 preseason games are so important to them. You mentioned one of them in Brian Poole, the undrafted free agent out of Florida. He's been playing with the first team at the nickel spot. We know Jalen Collins is going to be out for 4 games. So, you know, Jalen is definitely competing at that spot, but you got to figure he's not going to be there for your first 4 games. You got to find somebody capable who's going to be able to step in and keep the production high there. But I think Brian Poole is one of those guys that's you know, kind of opening some eyes and showing coaches that, hey, this isn't all that hard for me. I can take care of this this job. And I think another guy that, that you got to look at is C.J. Goodwin is coming on like crazy at the cornerback position.
Crazy interception today.
We've got it on our Twitter account if you want to go over there and take a look at Atlanta Falcons. It was just amazing. Weems downfield thought.
I gave Weems so much grief for that.
I saw you talking to him after practice, and I knew that. But I mean, Weems has the ball, and it's like a 30-yard completion. And Goodwin just rips it right from him, and it goes back to that all about the ball thing.
Never giving up on the play. You're
never giving up.
He's got Weems has a chance to catch it for, like you said, a big play. Never gave up on it, and like you said, just snatch it out of his hands.
And here's a kid who you know is making the switch from wide receiver to cornerback. And one more guy that I'm going to mention is Aldrick Robinson, the wide receiver. He's right now number four.
He's
that's big for a guy who, you know, he's got speed, he's got that downfield deep threat part of him that is going to be interesting to see how they utilize that in some of those scenarios where you're in the second or third or fourth quarter of some preseason games. See how much he can stretch the field and you know, make some guys work for some yards there.
He's one of the number one guys that came to my mind when we talk or think about who is making an impression on you at camp.
Yeah.
And I've been out and I've seen 5-6 practices, and every practice I've been to, he's flashed for me. He's made something happen throughout a practice, and I say, oh, okay, that's 19 again. That's Robinson again. He's making another play. And it's kind of coming second nature. And when you go down this roster and you look at this this team and you wonder, okay, who's going to be your fourth receiver? Who's going to be your fifth receiver? You know Julio, you know Sanu, you know Hardy's coming on, but who's going to be that fourth guy? Obviously, Weems is a guy who's been around for a while. He's your special team guru. You got to think he's one of your receivers. You bring in Devin Fuller. Who is a big-time return guy, but he's making plays at receiving position as well. There's also McKissick, J.D. McKissick, who
I've seen
a lot of flashes out of him as well throughout camp. So you wonder, this receiver battle is going to get real interesting.
It's tough.
It starts on Thursday. It starts in these preseason games. Which guys can make an impression, not just on offense, but we know in this league, special teams. If you can make an impression on special teams and find a niche for yourself like a Eric Weems has done for the past five years, then you're going to find a way to be on a team for a long time.
That's the thing is we can sit here and we can talk about Aldrick Robinson's downfield ability all we want, but fact of the matter is if he can't contribute on special teams, he's not going to be a guy who's going to be on your roster.
Right.
And so when you talk about the amount of talent that you have at the wide receiver, like wide receiver position like you just said, you've got to look at the guys who are going to be able to contribute to that special teams role. You know Devin Fuller is somebody that you brought in specifically for a special teams role. So you know, all right, there's your wideout right there. So now you've got even more limited positions that are available for some of these guys. So, I highly encourage – check out this story we put up today on AtlantaFalcons.com. Kelsey Conway wrote about how Justin Hardy in just his second year is basically a model for the coaches when it comes to rookies. Very first day the rookies were here, they sit down in the team meeting room with Keith Armstrong. Keith Armstrong doesn't say a thing. Starts playing video, and it's highlights of Justin Hardy's college career. And we all know, you know, he breaks the FBS record for receptions all time. I mean, that's just an amazing accomplishment. So here there's these highlights of him catching passes downfield, touchdowns, making these big plays, all that kind of stuff. The videotape all of a sudden switches to Justin Hardy running downfield covering kicks, giving it everything he's got and running downfield and covering kicks, covering punts, doing all that kind of stuff. And he says, that's how you make this team.
Yeah.
That's how you make this team. So already he hasn't even set foot on the field for his second NFL season. And Justin Hardy is an example of the journey that these young wide receivers have to take if they want to make this team.
And the thing he's telling from day one is, I don't care what you did in college. I don't care if you're
that's
number
exactly
one
exactly the point.
It does not matter.
Exactly.
Here you have to play special teams.
Yep.
If you don't, you're going to find yourself somewhere else. And Keith Armstrong is the guy who will tell you straight up, this is how it's going to be.
Yep.
And I think that that's exactly what these guys learn early is special teams is the key to this team. And then you find your niche and you find your way in the way Justin Hardy is doing now. But another guy who actually on the offensive line, Wes Schweitzer, who we talked about, you know, during the draft and combine, all the kinds of coming up, and we talked about his ability to be a little dirty, a little nasty. I've seen him a couple times in with the ones. I've seen him interchanging at that guard spot, and he's going to be another guy who you know can fill in for you and be a guy from day one that helps you, along with Austin Hooper, who we've seen made a lot of good plays already in camp.
I think, you know, if you're the Falcons front office, you've got to be so thrilled at what you're seeing out of your drafted rookies.
Yeah.
Because every single one of those guys has a chance to make an impact this year. Keanu Neal is going to be an awakening. And if you haven't opened your eyes to that yet, you haven't been paying attention. This kid was not a reach at number 17 or wherever we drafted. I don't know what day it is.
I just say he's going to make you a fan immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately he's going to make you a fan of
him. He's going to make you a fan absolutely immediately. He's going to win you over already. And I want to talk to you in a minute here about this secondary. And then you've got two young linebackers, Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell. Devondre Campbell is unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's ridiculously
big,
man.
The speed on a guy this size is amazing. He can cover the tight end like I've never seen before.
Forget the tight end. There was a play.
You're right.
They motioned Tevin Coleman out of the outside to play receiver.
And Tevin Coleman
and we know T. Cole, once he gets it, he has a chance to go
field.
80 every time.
Yep.
And T. Cole runs a straight go route. Devondre Campbell is hip to hip with Tevin Coleman, run down the sideline, knocks the ball away, defends it. And right there I said that's why they drafted him.
Yeah.
To be able to play in space like that, to be able to come up and hit you in the hole as well, but to be able to cover these linebackers, to play on that nickel side when you need him and be able to be three-down guy. Devondre Campbell is – I've never been really excited about defensive guys like this.
Yeah.
But him and Keanu, Deion Jones, they all are just good-looking players, man, who you know can come in and contribute right away.
And that's what I'm most excited about seeing here in the preseason is let's see some of these guys step up and make some big plays, show what they've been showing on the practice field, and put it on film during a game situation. I think Devondre is one of those guys that is going to be in your rotation. However you figure it out, whatever package he's going to be in, he's going to be on the field a lot.
Yeah.
I think as time goes on, he committed himself in that 6 weeks between minicamp and training camp. He said, "I'm not going on vacation. I'm not going to, you know, wherever. I'm not going to just sit back and sit on the couch. I'm going to look at my playbook so that when I get back here, I can just play." And that's exactly what he's done. That's exactly what a guy like Deion Jones has done. And you can tell Keanu Neal has done that too, because those guys are not out there thinking. Mm-hmm. They're already reacting. And that's what's really exciting.
And you know what, one thing else that I find really, really beneficial for not just this team, but I think it's beneficial for everybody in practice is you see Grady Jarrett going against Alex Mack. Julio.
And they're 50-50. Coach Quinn says they're 50-50 right now.
And you see Julio going against Trufant. And then you look over and you see Devondre Campbell going against T. Cole. And you got Deion Jones going against, you know, Devontae. There's so many matchups, and they're going best on best.
Yeah.
And the rookies, Keanu Neal, is lined up against Hooper. He's lined up against Tammy. These guys are lined up one-on-one, and they say you guard them. And I think this is going to bode well for them when they get in the season is – and look, in practice, I was guarding Julio. In practice, I was going against Mack, who's a Pro Bowler. You know, this is stuff that I'm used to doing already. So they get into game time. It's not like, all right, here goes Mike Evans now. Okay, I got to make sure I'm doing it. You're not thinking.
No.
I go against Julio every day. I go against Sanu. I go against these big physical receivers every day. So our defensive backs get to see it on a daily basis. How can you not be better? How can you not get to that level and say, all right, when you get in the game, this is nothing. I've done this.
And this is what I wanted to talk to you about being a quarterback is you look at the four guys who are slated right now to start in the secondary, and you've got some young guys there, right? But you've got a lot of talent there.
Yeah.
One thing I'm noticing in this camp, you got a lot of swagger there.
Mm.
You got a lot of communication there. As a quarterback, you look at those four guys. If you were to look at them on film going into a game, you know you're facing those four guys. You got to be thinking – you got to work pretty hard this week.
And you know what? I think it goes back to I spoke about this when we first came on with Marco Emmanuel, their coach.
Yeah.
If you ever come to an Atlanta Falcons practice, He's the coach that has cleats on. He's running around. He's energetic. For the entire 2 hours, hour and 45 minutes that they're out there, he is giving them everything he has. And I think his players feed off of it. And you talk about, he looks like he has that swagger. His players, we know Trufant has had that swagger, but it looks like Ricardo's starting to have that swagger now. Yeah. And you look on the other side, there's so many guys who are playing with that kind of swagger, that energy, and that just confidence that it doesn't matter who's out there, who they line up against, they feel like they should win every single battle. And, you know, I think Keanu is becoming one of those guys who is – he's the tougher guy. You think back there because he should be. He's a safety. He's always – you see him down in that box all the time. But I think he's got that confidence about him already too because he's playing with guys who feel like they should win every single time. I thought Alford's done a good job in this camp of being in the hip pocket of every receiver. Of course, the receiver's going to catch the football at times, but I think Alford's done such a good job, whether he's playing nickel or he's playing corner, he's done a good job of being better at the technique of looking for the football. Yep. We know he's had that kind of issue in the past, but he's done such a good job in this camp, I believe, and I think he's had an outstanding camp so far.
Rocky is set to break out this year, and I think, you know, there's a lot that, you know, he's had to deal with from a social media aspect, you know, hearing the haters and all that other stuff. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He came into this camp with a chip on his shoulder, and it is really starting to manifest itself into this very confident cornerback opposite Desmond Trufant. Because here's the thing. When you're on the other side of Desmond Trufant, you know you're getting a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know it.
That's going to happen.
Okay? And you're going to have guys who are going to make catches. But here's a guy who has worked his tail off in this offseason, and he's found that extra motivation to prove some people wrong. I think a lot of quarterbacks are going to find that it's not going to be so easy to just stay away from Desmond Trufant. I think you got to think about Robert Alford.
And one thing that you've seen is if a receiver catches the football, it's contested. It's they got a DB hanging over him, or he's within a yard of making the play. And that's what you got to like is, They're making a pretty good check to get open. So guess what? They're going to find a way to get open and catch the football. But you want to see where are you when he catches the football? Are you close to him? Are you near to him? Are you there to make the play? And another guy who we talked about was Brian Poole earlier, who's been in that nickel. Beginning the camp, there was also DeMarcus Van Dyke, who was playing really well as that nickel guy as well. Mm-hmm. So you talk about competition. There's so many guys vying for spots, and they need this game action to show why they should be playing more or get an opportunity to. But like you said, this whole entire secondary has a new mind frame coming into this season. And like you mentioned, if you go to Trufant's side, I don't see a lot of catches going over there. You go to Rocky's side, he feels like he should be a number one guy. So each guy has that confidence about him that they can get the job done.
You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the defense, and I want to just quickly go over to the offensive side. I think at this point in camp, and this tends to be how things go, is that the defense is always just a little bit ahead of the offense at this point in camp. And so, you know, if you're watching from afar, if you're watching on the hill over here in Flower Branch, or you're watching on any videos that we put up on AtlantaFalcons.com or Twitter or wherever, maybe you're seeing some interceptions, you're seeing some turnovers, things like that. That's not uncommon at all at this point in the training camp process, because that offense, it just needs a little bit more time to click. I would say, though, you're finding that second year under Kyle Shanahan and being in that system again for another offseason, I think has brought the offense together a heck of a lot more. They all understand it. I think Alex Mack being in the middle and being in this offense and loving this offensive system has helped up front. But I want to get your impressions, what you've seen here in these 10 days out of Matt Ryan.
You know what? The thing that I like about this offense is, like you mentioned, they're in the second season of it. So everybody is starting to feel a little bit more comfortable. You talk about having a guy up front like Alex Mack who can take some pressure off number two, which helps a lot, trust me. When you don't have to worry about protections, you don't have to worry about making sure the line is sliding a certain way, it frees you up mentally to make sure everything on the back end is taken care of. Your receivers know exactly what you're thinking. But I thought early in camp, a lot of people talked about some of the interceptions that Matt was throwing. And I try to explain to people, at the beginning of camp, there's a lot of install. There's a lot of things that you have to learn. And then this is an offense in its second year, they're still trying to tweak certain things. So in the offseason, you go back, you look at all the good, the bad, the ugly, and you say, okay, what can we do better? So you find the plays that are good, and then you also say, okay, let's put in a few new things here and there. We can't just act like everything we did last year is gonna be magically there and everybody's going to let us do it. We got to find ways to work on new things. And I think a lot of people lose sight of, in training camp, this is the time to work on it. Because in the regular season, there's not time to be trying to put in new plays all the time. There may be one or two plays you put in because of the game plan, but you don't have time to work on it like you do in training camp, so you got to have the right timing. There was a particular play in camp where Matt drops back and he throws a corner route to Hooper, and Kyle Shanahan intercepts it.
Oh, that thing went viral.
It went viral.
For all the wrong reasons.
But a lot of people didn't understand that particular play.
Right.
On this particular play, I'm going to break it down for you. So it was near the goal line. Say you're going 25 in, and Matt's throwing a corner route. Kyle's in what's called a cover three, so he should be backing up. But because he has the end zone behind him, he doesn't have to back up as much as he does because the end zone is like another defender.
Right.
So he tries to play in the middle, and Hooper's running a corner route, a seven route, sticks and goes to the corner. But on this particular play versus cover three, the receiver is taught always if the corner is backing up, you come flat. You come under him. And that way, if the DB tries to intercept the ball, he has to come through you, which in turn will become a pass interference. Hooper takes a higher angle, but because Matt is a guy who is the best at anticipating and he expects the route to be run the right way, a certain way, he throws it on time, and he throws it like Hooper's going to come under Shanahan. So he throws it in the right spot, and Shanahan's there to intercept it. Now, what people didn't see on the video was as soon as Kyle Shanahan intercepts the ball, he turns to Hooper right now. He says nothing to Matt. He turns to Hooper, and you can see him actually pointing at this is what you should be doing. Yeah. And it was about a 2-3 minute teaching session of this is what we expect on this certain play. You got to come underneath. Matt's expecting you to come underneath. Things like that happen throughout camp all the time. You're working out, like you said, the tweaks of the offense. You're working on things that you did good last year, and you got some new people in the system already. You just talked about Hooper. We got Sanu coming in his first year. You got a lot of guys coming in for the first time learning this offense. Even though a couple guys been in for the second year, everybody's still learning. And then on the other side, those defensive guys, they get paid too.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, they're not just going to let you have everything. They're not going to let you just continue to complete passes on them. They want to, you know, they want to earn their keep too, and they want to make sure you don't catch it. So guess what? Sometimes the defense gets you. And I had to learn that early in my career was sometimes coach say, look, they got us that time. They played the right coverage. They just got us. Defense made a good play. We got to move on to the next play. That's how it goes.
You know, it's so funny being the social media guy. I get a different perspective on this. And, you know, I'll put out a video of, you know, I remember I put out a video of Ricardo Allen picking off Matt Ryan. And I thought it was a great interception. I mean, Ricardo read that play really, really well, got exactly where he needed to be, made the pick, took off downfield. Thought it was great. You get in response 50-50, oh, there was a great interception, and oh, what's Matt doing? Yeah. He's throwing the ball. You know, as a coach, I mean, you got to look at as a head coach because you're coaching the whole team. It's got to be tough to look at certain plays that happen in practice, and let's say Grady Jarrett beats Alex Mack on a play, and you're like, well, that's great for Grady Jarrett, but what about Alex Mack? What was he doing on that play? It's like, you got to balance that stuff out. And even as a fan, you got to balance and that stuff out.
Here's a great example of the 50-50 here.
Yeah.
Last year, everybody remembers the great Julio catch against Carolina.
Yes.
Over Kuechly.
Right.
If that's intercepted or it's batted down or he doesn't catch it, it's on Matt. It's a bad throw.
Right.
Julio catches it. Everybody says, just give him a chance.
Yeah.
Just throw it up to Julio.
Throw it up to him,
give him a shot.
Yeah.
And things like that will happen.
Absolutely.
That's the 50-50 part of it is that a quarterback goes through all the time is, do I give him a chance? Do I risk an interception? But certain guys, you know, I can give them a better chance of going for the football than others. On that particular play to Ricardo, when he intercepted, Matt probably could have thought I could fit it there. Or mm-hmm. or maybe he thought he, you know, kept a safety in the middle field long enough and he can get the ball there. Or what, or maybe just Ricardo read it well. You know, yeah. he went and attacked it. Sometimes we look at defensive backs as quarterbacks as guys who can't really catch. So right. you're like, you throw it over there. They may just knock it down, you know?
Right,
so
right, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that goes on, and like I can see exactly how it can go 50-50, how people look at
it. It's a double-edged sword. You know, we try to get those highlights out there so that people who aren't able to join us here in Flowery Branch are able to see what's going on, see some of the big plays, some of the big moments, and, you know, sometimes you get a little caught up in those 6 seconds. I'm telling you, there's a lot more that's going on in Flowery Branch than just that. We're trying to bring as much of it as we possibly can to you. Do we have a break with Bosek today?
Yeah, we got a nice quick one.
Okay.
All right, Olympics started.
Oh, they did. Hey.
They did.
And here's the thing. I have to explain to my father this all the time when training camp starts, is if it does not occur inside these gates, I don't know about it. So the Olympics started. I really had no idea.
I asked Bosek about that earlier. I was like, did you see the swim meet last night? He was like,
They get home till 11 o'clock.
seriously, this is the depth this goes. What happened with the Hall of Fame game? I have no idea what happened.
With the field?
I don't know.
The paint?
I just heard it didn't happen.
They used the wrong kind of paint. So the
and
paint
it made the field real slippery.
Was like tar.
Stop it.
Yeah. So it was
unsafe. See, this is my thing. I am so zoomed
Jacob
in.
Jacob Tammy had a great tweet. He said, as an NFL's most hated man, I'm responsible for this.
He said that?
Yeah, it was amazing.
How did I miss that? Anyway, but that's the depth.
I've been in camp all week, but this is my fault.
Yeah, that's the depth. I don't even know who's running for president right now, but go ahead.
I wanted to know your guys' favorite Summer Olympic sport that you like to watch during this time. I know we're in camp, but...
That I like to watch, huh?
Yep.
You know what? I don't know why I've really gotten into... the swimming, I've asked you about the swimming.
Yep.
But, you know, last night I got into the synchronized, where they're jumping off and they're synchronized into the
dive,
pool.
Synchronized diving?
Synchronized diving, yeah.
I don't know, amazing.
me and my little guy, 4 years old, we're both sitting there like, wow.
Yeah.
Dude, there was one time the two guys from China, the USA came in second, by the way, they got silver. But there were two guys from China, and one time they showed them side by side, and you could not see the other guy on the side, and they were doing like flips and spins, and you could not see the other guy on the other side because they were that synchronized. Huh.
Diving is amazing to me because of how high they are. I don't know if you've ever like gone up on one of those platforms
before. I'm afraid of heights. I won't do it.
10 meter one.
So you're a Georgia guy.
Won't do it.
You know all about Mark Richt's.
That's why I never got in trouble because I didn't want to do it.
You know. May that tradition rest in peace. If Kirby Smart
took it to Miami.
You know, the one day. So what would Mark Richt do? He would basically say, hey, it's a practice day, and he'd come in and be like, no, we're going swimming. How would that work?
Yeah, he'd come in, everybody be fully padded, ready to practice. And there's no inkling of it to happen. And we would actually go through like the first 15 minutes of practice.
Yeah.
And you're sweating, and he'll call everybody up just like, you know, we're like DQ does. And
yeah.
Hey, this is what we got going on next. Call us up, and he'd just go like this, head to the bus. And you'd point to the bus, and dudes would 4-4 to the bus. 4-4 to the bus. Shoulder pads flailing everywhere. Dudes are little kids in a candy store to go to.
But wherever they take you, and I'm not all that familiar with the UGA campus, wherever they have the pool, they've got those Olympic.
Oh, yeah. The big ones, yeah.
Like diving, the ones that go all the way up. And I don't know how high that is. But I've seen video. Right. I've seen video of Mark Richt jumping off of that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way. And so, I've been up on the top of some of those things and just for the fun of it and look down. And
you had to walk back down the steps?
I went back down the steps.
You chicken down on it?
I carried my pride right with me right down because I'm not jumping off of
that's
that.
That's even scarier.
Not happening.
See, wow. I wouldn't even got up there anyway, so I wouldn't have to worry about my pride.
I just had to see how high it was because you look down and you look up. And
were you already nervous?
So high.
Already nervous when you got up there?
You get up there. I am
when you're walking up the steps.
Shaking. Yeah. Like, just absolutely shaking, and so I don't do heights anymore.
Those dudes literally get up there, and they just – you see their body just fall off just nice and slow.
Yeah.
And just, That's
no way.
That's like
no
terrifying
way.
For me.
I'm sorry, that ain't happening.
Dosek, what about
for,
you?
For me, well, hey, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of them, but you know, when I was younger, and the gymnastics were real big with Kerry Strug mm-hmm. and that whole group.
Yeah.
So I like the gymnastics. Like the balance beam, I think is just an absolutely amazing feat. Like if you have that talent.
Dude, that's so amazing. You said
incredible.
That. Me and my wife were watching the other night, and I was like, how do they stay on this thing?
It's
and they be
unreal.
Flipping and everything.
4 inches wide.
And they
4 inches
it.
Wide.
Boom.
I've got the entire earth in front of me, and I still fall over sometimes. I don't understand how they do it. I think it's more of a fascination for me, but I love watching the athleticism of like balance beam and like the pommel horse and the rings and like all that different stuff.
How strong do you got to be to do the rings?
Let me tell you, there are.
Oh my goodness.
I finally went to like a Cirque du Soleil thing.
You tried it?
I didn't try it. I was sitting. I went to a show, and they do. I mean, the strength that's got to be. These have to be people who have started out in
their
gymnastics
upper body
or
core
something
strength
like that. I mean, it's just
be ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. I bench press for 10 reps, and I'm proud of myself.
Me too.
I'm also winded.
No doubt.
I'm not going. I'm not doing a whole routine on the ring. So that would be my area.
Mine's definitely swimming. Especially watching Michael Phelps. I'm glad he's in this Olympics another time. I love watching the race.
Like,
and
what
the
would
line.
Be your race?
What would be my race?
Are you a freestyle guy? Are you like a
just
butterfly?
I'd go freestyle.
Freestyle.
I can't do any of those.
But
stuff.
You see how long that pool is.
Oh,
though.
50 meters.
50
yeah.
meters.
And then going back.
Would
oh.
you just be a 50 meter guy? You look like you're built
yeah,
for speed.
Yeah, I'd probably do 50 meters.
Now
just
would
nice
you
quick.
Done?
Boom.
Now would you do? Would you do what the swimmers do? And would you shave all the hair off your body?
I think I'd have to be faster.
That helps.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Legs, arms, everything?
Everything gone.
Everything.
Everything.
Hey, if it gets me an extra second, I get a gold medal. You betcha.
I heard that. I'd be about
you
that.
You betcha.
Might as well.
All right.
Well, that was good. Yeah. That was fun. All right, DJ, before we get out of here, one thing you hope to see from Thursday night's game?
One thing I hope to see from Thursday night's game, I would say, is I want to see pass rush.
Mm.
I want to see there's so much talent. I've seen these guys. I'm like, how do these guys are not able to get to the quarter? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But I want to see the uptick in pressure. I want to see us get a couple sacks. I want to see the push of the pocket. I want to see Grady at his new spot, right over the nose, see what kind of push he gets in the run game as well as the pass game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that front seven looks like, especially those outside linebackers and in the trenches get upfield.
Yeah, I'm going to go on the other side of the ball. I want to see these young wide receivers. I want to see which one starts to separate
like
themselves,
that.
And especially on the special team side, as we already discussed. But there's got to be some separation that happens with some of these guys, and it's going to start happening in this first preseason game. So I'm excited to see what they're going to probably do in the second half of the game. Actually, I'm looking forward to another thing, too. John Michaels will be at the game.
We might
show
see him.
Up. You
might
know?
See him.
That's where we'll catch him, right?
Yeah, Bo, what do you got?
I'm excited to see Austin Hooper.
We're
gonna have him mic'd up, so I hope he's got a good game going
nice,
for him.
Nice.
You think a hoop chant might start up in the meanwhile?
Ooh.
I mean, that could start.
I think so.
Absolutely.
Well, Julio's got the hoo, right?
Ooh. Oh yeah, you're never gonna know who they're talking about.
Yeah, that's true. As long as it's not booing, I don't know.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know.
Awesome. I'm glad we were able to come
I'm
back.
I'm glad
now.
We were back too. I mean, there was a little bit of rust, but I think
was
we did okay.
Pretty excited to get the text yesterday. Hey.
I know. I told one of our coworkers, I'm like, I'm about to go do the Falcon cast. He's like, what?
I had a guy. I had a guy out there today. I told Bosek about it at camp. Said, hey, when are you guys gonna do another Falcon cast? Is it still gonna be audio? And he looked at me like,
is it still gonna be audio?
Yeah.
Sorry,
he
it is.
He gave me. I said, yeah, it's probably gonna be audio. He said, oh, okay. Well, I want to hear it anyway. So
okay. Well, that's good. Well, hey, hopefully we'll be back next week. We got to be back next week. We'll
talk about the first game.
Get back to regular program here and talk about the next game. Maybe John Michaels will join us. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for your patience as we have navigated through some very busy times here in Flowery Branch. We will talk to you next week.